This is Jim Inkster. Coming today on the show, we'll visit with Mary Stein, Assistant Director at the East Baton Rouge Parish Library System. She'll have some things to talk about regarding the library. And, of course, there is a new main one at the Goodwood location, 129,000 square feet, but who's counting? And we'll talk with Mary about this and more. Also, Melissa Flournoy, the former state lawmaker, now head of Planned Parenthood in this region. Some bills are in the legislature that would curtail abortions and might even prevent Planned Parenthood employees from ever teaching in public schools in Louisiana. We'll discuss it with Melissa Flournoy. And Steve Monahan, the president of the Louisiana Federation of Teachers, on education legislation, including what's going on with Common Core and the governor. Now the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. 297-5633 is your number if you're calling locally and then outside the area. Please give us a dial at 877-217-5757, toll free. InksterShow@WRKF.org if you'd like to reach us by email. Frank Barnett is producing, and our leadoff guest is Mary Stein, the Assistant Director of the East Baton Rouge Parish Library System. Good morning to you, Mary.
Good morning.
Nice to have you back.
And I'm delighted to be here.
This has been a big year. April 12th was the official grand opening of the 129,000-square-foot facility on Goodwood Boulevard. A spectacular place.
It is spectacular. In fact, the word that people use when they come in is wow. And then they say, I never thought that Baton Rouge could have anything like this. And then when we tell them that it's paid for, their jaws just drop.
We do have a reading community.
We do.
We've got a lot of problems, but we do have people who read. I understand that the rate of people checking books out at the library in Baton Rouge is much higher than it is in other places.
We're actually seeing a little bit of a lift. And what we're finding, Jim, is that people are reading. Maybe they're not reading printed books, but they're still reading. So they're maybe pulling in some of our downloads, because we have a huge downloadable library. And they're pulling those in for their Nooks and their Kindles and their iPads, or maybe they're pulling in magazines from Xenio instead of coming in and getting the physical magazine that we still have.
You still have books there, though.
But we still have books, about 2 million of them.
Now, what would a library be without actual books?
It's part and parcel of the whole experience. But what we're realizing these days is it is an entire experience. It's the different ways you either get or give information, or the ways you communicate with other people through programming and meeting rooms and all these other things.
Do you think we'll see a day when we have a totally digital library?
I think in Star Wars, when the holographic library came through on the screen, it was still a library. Uh-huh. And there were still people using it.
So. I don't know. I don't think you can have a real library without books.
I love books, and I still have books in my house, and of course, I still use books in the library. Not everything is available from the cloud, and there's also research shows that with the younger ones, you really need to keep them in print. You need to have them learning left to right, and nothing replaces the experience of snuggling up with a caring adult and sharing a book with a child. And it's something that you can't do the same way with a computer screen. Not to say we don't have things for children that are digital, but nothing replaces that quality time.
All right. You say it's paid for. Who paid for it?
You did. The citizens of East Baton Rouge Parish voted years ago for a dedicated property tax, and we've renewed it every 10 years since 1986. And what we do is we are the Dave Ramsey of government agencies, because we save, and then when we have enough, we spend. Every single library that we've built since 1986 has been paid for the day it was open, and you see them all around the parish. Every single one of them open 7 days a week. You're not going to find that in other counties, let alone states.
How much did this cost?
This one, the construction is coming in at $35 million and some change. The total project will be a little bit over $41 million. And it actually is coming in pretty much $1 million below budget.
No, you're not supposed to mention Dave Ramsey on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's a commercial radio guy.
Oh, well.
Save, save, save.
Mm-hmm.
Well, is there enough savings to build the one downtown? Supposed to be even grander than the one on Goodwood,
well,
isn't it?
Well, Jim, actually, every time we build a library, we build it as smartly and as beautifully and as technologically advanced and as efficiently as we can. So as we were learning to design the main library at Goodwood, we put the things we learned into the design of the Fairwood branch. And you'll see that it has drive-throughs, and it has collaborative study spaces, and it has teen rooms and quiet rooms. Bookshelves.
I thought all rooms in a library were quiet.
Absolutely not, because libraries are for people, and people make noise. But we saved for the Fairwood branch, and we didn't actually engage an architect until we had all the money we were going to need. The same is true for the River Center branch. That money's just sitting in our savings account waiting to be drawn down for construction. And actually, we're in the design development stage for that one now.
Well, I'm surprised, and we did get a listener who asked, the old library, which was on Goodwood, was torn down.
It certainly was.
And why wasn't it on the Register of Historic Places?
It was not an historically significant building. So we said goodbye to that asbestos-ridden, termite-ridden, interesting building. I guess at the end of March, the beginning of April, the last vestige of the old main library went away, and
it was sad to see that building go.
Not for me. my office was the last to go, and I waved. But what we're doing now is that gives us the space for the parking, which we so desperately need. Our good friends at BREC have been sharing their parking at the theater and at the Garden Center, which you get to from Independence Boulevard. So basically, you have to go around the block right now and kind of come in the side way. But as soon as possible, we have actually started pouring concrete for the actual true library parking lot, which will be three times the size of the old parking lot, because we're going to have three times the numbers of people come into this beautiful building.
2975633 in our remaining moments with Mary Stein, the assistant director of the East Baton Rouge Parish Library. And what's the timetable on the downtown location?
Well, we've got to get through design development. We're churning ahead on that, and hopefully by midsummer we will have locked down, or late summer, it's hard to say, we'll have locked down all the major components. Of course, we have the concept, which we've shared with the public. It's on our website. You can check it out. But now it's time to tweak and really decide you want the door to open this way, you want this kind of hall, you know, the fine-tuning of the details for the floor plan and the finishes. So we're in that mode now. We would hope to have construction documents completed within 3 to 6 months after that, because it's a long process. The construction documents for the main library weighed 45 pounds. So it's a lot of documents. You have to make sure the pipes are thus and such, and the wiring is thus and such. You know, everything has its own schedule.
Wow.
So it's a process.
Almost as heavy as a John Foles cooking book.
Oh, yes. I mean, we have those too.
Well, you also have summer reading. What's going on with summer reading at the library?
We do. We've been doing summer reading, you know, since most of your listeners were alive. But we do it not only for children, but for teens and even adults. There's something for everyone, and we're not above bribing people to read. It's so important. There's a really serious purpose to a summer reading program at the library, because research has shown that if children, whatever age they are, don't read on a regular basis through the summer months, they experience what's called the summer slide, and they actually drop back part of a grade in their ability, their skill level. In a way, it's just like a sport. You have to practice it. So we're happy to bribe kids to practice reading over the summer. And to sweeten the pot, we have fabulous programs all the time at every single branch. And it could be puppets. It could be the ballet. It could be musical concerts. It could be fabulous comedy routines.
At every branch.
Every single branch. And you find out about that with our newsletter, which is online at ebrpl.com. Or we have paper copies because you and I still like paper. So we still print a newsletter, and we have that. And of course, we have an online calendar, and our staff is happy to register you and your family for any kind of program that's interesting to them, whether it be a workshop or something new, like we're getting into the 3D printing and Arduino and Raspberry Pi. We're going to do some technology classes even this summer.
How many branches?
There are now 14 locations, including the beautiful new main library at Goodwood.
And your office is at the new one, right?
I am. I am. I'm so happy to come to work every day.
Mary and I were at LSU together.
We were.
Many years ago, and you've done well. What was your major in college?
Well, I had some music majors, math and music degrees, and got a couple of those, and then did the library thing.
Okay.
And I've never regretted it.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
It's worked out well for you, hasn't
it? Yeah, I'm pretty happy.
Okay. Jennifer, where's Jennifer calling from, Frank? Jennifer on Highway 61.
61.
Good morning.
Good morning. I want to compliment the new library. I live in Tara, and I've been enjoying it. I've been going to story time with my granddaughter there, and I love the way it's integrated into the Breck Park. And my question is, with the story time and encouraging reading programs for the young, are there any plans to take that out into the community?
Well, actually, our bookmobile service goes and visits, especially in the summer month. They visit day camps, Breck camps. They'll drop in at a vacation Bible school if they've been invited, and they bring that out into the community in that fashion. And then, of course, they've been on a regular basis visiting about 71 preschools and daycares every month anyway. So they kind of push it out in that way. And then you'll also see them at Live After Five. You'll see them at Back to School Fests, Expos, whatever. They'll be out probably on the levee for the concert around July the 4th. So they get out and about, as do many of our staff.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you.
I don't know of anybody who's more enthusiastic about her job than is Mary Stein at the East Baton Rouge Parish Library. You brought a book with you. Is that for a purpose of some kind?
I did. If you have never read Ender's Game, this is your copy now. So I wanted you to see that was our spring One Book, One Community, which is a series where we encourage everybody to read the same book. So for at least a brief period of time, everyone has the same kind of context to talk
Ender's
about.
Ender's Game.
It's a futuristic novel. Teens love this book. It was written for adults by Orson Scott Card, and there's a whole series that follows
Orson
this.
Scott Card. I've not heard of this person before.
He's very philosophical. So if you want to read this book as a shoot 'em up in space, you can. But if you want to read this book as something much deeper and a really indictment of education and the way we send our young men to war, you can read it in that respect too. But I brought it because I wanted to show you. We had made some little medallions that go with the battle school for Ender's Game with our new 3D printer.
Oh, my.
And I wanted
what
you to...
What will they think of next?
I know. It's additive printing, and you can check out one of our 3D printers right now. They're printing on Friday afternoons at between 4 and 5 just to demonstrate, and then we'll be doing some more classes this summer. So that's just one of the ways where we're, you know, stretching our wings and getting into new kinds of technology, trying to make those things available for our patrons so that they can in turn grow.
That sounds like a fascinating book. It was a New York Times bestseller.
Yes.
Ender's Game by Orson Scott Card, not to be confused with Orson Bean, who you're probably old enough to remember.
Yeah.
Orson Bean.
Yeah. But you know, Jim, young adult literature is so incredible, and we're lucky enough, the first week of June, through a wonderful serendipitous event, we're going to be hosting Chris Crutcher, Chris Crow, Matt De La Pena, Kimberly Willis Holt, and Teresa Guillory at the New Main Library for free evenings to talk with these fabulous nationally known authors.
When will Kimberly Willis Holt be there?
She will be here Wednesday, the first Wednesday in June, the evening.
The first Wednesday in June.
That's
and you've got several other young people's authors who will be there as well.
That's right.
You're on the air. Could you tell us what's on your mind with Mary Stein? Hello? Okay, I tell you what, we're going to take a break. We'll return a few minutes with Mary. We'll hear from Melissa Flournoy of Planned Parenthood, and we've also got Steve Monahan from the Louisiana Federation of Teachers on deck. 297-5633 is your number. Back after this 90-second pause on WRKN. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge, 297-5633. A few more minutes with Mary Stein, and Melissa Flournoy is on deck for a brief visit with us. She's down at the Capitol, and it's an interesting turn of events regarding legislation pertaining to Planned Parenthood. Connie and Baker. Connie, you're on the air with Mary Stein.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I really like the new facility. It's very impressive and very comfortable to be in. I forgot to check when I toured it, though, to find out if you have a manual typewriter that's coming back into vogue. I'll take her off the air. Thank you.
We actually do have one form of old tech, which is the manual typewriter. Well, it's an electric typewriter. We have one electric typewriter out by the computer commons on the second floor. The way the building is designed, the adults rule the second floor, and then the kids and the teens are on the first floor. The Career Center has moved over. The Baton Rouge Archive is on the second floor. And the minute we have 150 new parking spaces later this summer, genealogy has come on over. So a lot of opportunities for you to sit, read, have quiet time, have lively time, work in a room with your team, attend programs, go to the technology lab. A lot of options.
Well, thank you very much, Mary Stein, and good luck to you. And
thanks.
Let's do this again.
You're going to have to come by.
You're pretty good at this. I'll come by to see Kimberly Willis Holt.
Absolutely.
Okay. 297-5633. Melissa Flournoy is with us, former state lawmaker and now head of Planned Parenthood in this region, and she is with us for just a few brief moments. And the reason is that there are some bills, one of which has already cleared the legislative process, that would make it a requirement for doctors to have admitting privileges within 30 miles of their facilities when they are doing abortions. And the other is one that some say would actually make it impossible for, make it against the law for people who've worked for Planned Parenthood to get a job teaching in public schools. So, Melissa Flournoy, what do you think?
Well, good morning, Jim. It's always great to be on the show. Yeah, this has been a wild session for people who care about women's access to health care with them killing Medicaid expansion and everything else. And the admitting privileges bill, I think, is really targeted to eliminate access to safe and legal abortion in Louisiana, and will eliminate probably the ability of at least three of the existing health centers in Baton Rouge and New Orleans to continue to operate after the bill becomes effective in September. So, you know, this is really part of a national effort to eliminate access to safe and legal abortion care. And here in Louisiana, we've been very safe and very successful in passing this kind of legislation.
Well, yeah, the one that requires the admitting privileges is, I guess, almost identical to the one in Texas. It's under court review, but Governor Jindal is not inclined to veto that, I'm sure, so we may be headed for a court challenge on that one. But the other one, 305, House Bill 305, which is still one legislative hurdle away from completion, I think it still awaits a vote from the state Senate. What exactly does it do, Melissa?
Well, it's State Representative Frank Hoffman from Monroe is taking a direct shot at Planned Parenthood to exclude, and the way it's written is that any abortion provider or affiliate of abortion providers would not be eligible to do any kind of health education or sex education in schools. And so, you know, Pat Smith's bill about comprehensive sex education was killed in this session. Schools can provide access to comprehensive health education, and an abstinence-based sex education now, and some schools do invite Planned Parenthood in to do presentations for teachers and principals, and we've made presentations to high school students in both Baton Rouge and New Orleans. And what this bill would do would be make it illegal for Planned Parenthood to participate in any school-based activities and provide any information on medically accurate, age-appropriate health information. And so it's very frustrating, Jim, because, you know, Planned Parenthood is a reputable organization. We're a 501c3 nonprofit. You know, we work with the CDC and evidence-based models for education programs that get results. And, you know, it's just very frustrating for me just to be the target of so much acrimony and inaccurate information, and then to have legislation like this come at us, it's just very frustrating.
It would seem this might invite a First Amendment challenge. After all, if you belong to a legal organization operating within the borders of the United States, how in the world can your affiliation with that organization keep you from teaching in a public school?
Well, you know, Jim, it's not the first time that Louisiana has intentionally passed unconstitutional laws. And so,
Really? You know,
I remember when I was in the legislature, we did that quite often, and it continues today. So I do think that the state of Louisiana opens itself up to litigation on this legislation around education access as well as the admitting privileges. And really what we've seen around the country is that this type of targeted legislation towards Planned Parenthood does end up getting litigated. So, you know, we'll have to see. I think the last hurdle is for House Bill 305 on the Senate floor probably early next week. And I anticipate that it'll probably pass.
And I would guess the governor will sign it.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, Planned Parenthood is committed to quality education. We're a leading provider of reproductive health care and education. You know, we do a lot of community-based education that's based on, you know, CDC models. I mean, Louisiana has, you know, some of the highest HIV, STI, and teen pregnancy rates. I mean, one of the things that's really clear is that we really do need more health education for parents and young people to make smarter decisions. And so, you know, Planned Parenthood is committed to quality information, and if we can't provide services in the school, you know, we will provide services in the community through churches and nonprofits and with parent groups and other groups. And, you know, we're committed to the long haul, to quality health care and information and accurate information.
Well, why do you think Planned Parenthood has been demonized the way it has?
Oh, gosh, Jim, just, you know, watch Fox News for 10 minutes. I mean, you know, this is part of a national agenda to demonize Planned Parenthood as an organization, to limit access to abortion care and reproductive health care for women across the country. It's all tied up with the expansion of Medicaid and access to health care and the birth control mandate. And Planned Parenthood is a national leadership organization with a great reputation and therefore an easy identifiable target for our political enemies. And so, you know, we're in it to win it, and we're in it for the long haul. And Planned Parenthood has been in Louisiana for 30 years, and we are, you know, resolute on staying the course to provide access to quality health care and quality education. So, you know, we will soldier on through whatever adversaries want to come at us with, whatever they come at us with.
Well, we'll follow it with you, and we'll revisit this topic next week as the Senate weighs in on House Bill 305, which at this point, based on erudite analysts of the legislation, it would ban Planned Parenthood employees from working in the public school system in East Baton Rouge Parish or anywhere in Louisiana. So
around the state.
Anywhere in the great state of Louisiana, from Lake Providence to Lake Pontchartrain.
And, you know, the problem, Jim, is that we've got, you know, the highest rates of gonorrhea and syphilis. You know, the fastest growing group of teen pregnancy is 11 to 14-year-olds. We just continue to put our head in the sand and refuse to live in the real world, which is very complicated and young people and families need accurate information, and to delay sexual activity, to avoid pregnancy, and to avoid disease. And this is just another attack on high-quality information.
Well, thank you, Melissa. Take care, and we'll talk
great.
Next week. Take care.
Thanks, Jim. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Thank you. Bye.
And we're joined in studio now by Steve Monahan, the president of the Louisiana Federation of Teachers, the largest teacher organization in Louisiana, correct?
That's correct, Jim.
How many members?
Over 21,000.
21,000. That's a lot of people. And you've been the president now for...
I said this once before in your show, in dog years or in real time. I think I'm entering my 12th year.
12th year. And your predecessor, Fred Skelton, was there for a long time,
yes,
too.
Yes, he was.
So,
he was.
So there has been stability at the top
there
of LFT.
Been.
But has there been stability at the Louisiana legislature based on your reading of what's going on in this session?
I think Melissa said it, and the first words out of her mouth was, it's been a wild session. I find the session this year even wilder than we anticipated it to be. And we kind of anticipated it was going to be a wild, cacophonous session.
Why has it been wild?
It's been wild because there have been lots of voices. I think there was an article not too long ago, Mark Ballett wrote about it, that I spoke to. But I think he put it in one sentence. We moved from room to room on these committee hearings, and it went from like raw milk to raw anger. And I think the overarching feel to it has been anger and noise. Common Core in education sucked all the energy out of the room. The questions are manifest about what Common Core is and still remain. However, at the end of the day, Jim, what's noted about the session is most of it has been no. Except when you get to a world like where Melissa lives, everything seems to be yes.
And chicken boxing and
chicken boxing and we made what national comedy on that. I think the Colbert Report mm-hmm. featured the whole
cigarette
issue.
Butts.
Cigarette butts. We have had Fox Pen debates in education committee. Yesterday, I'm still kind of in shock from yesterday's Senate Ed, which started at about 9:30 yesterday morning and went all the way until around 6:30 on the privacy issues surrounding Common Core.
Well, Common Core is still permeating through the Capitol as an issue, and we will talk about that with Steve Monahan. And one of the developments, which you may actually be pleased about, is that the governor is now in your camp. Did you personally convert Governor Bobby Jindal, Steve Monahan?
I don't think we were in the same flock on that issue. We didn't enter from the position that Common Core was some type of communist plot or nine-year Russian plan.
But that's what he's saying.
Oh, I hear him.
And he started out as one of the advocates, and maybe the principal advocate.
It came out of the Governor's Association. The state of Louisiana signed on, the governor signed on in 2010, all in, as they say.
Well, in previous conversations with you, you've actually had some good things to say about Common Core, in addition to being against on an overall basis. But the governor now, you've said it, he's equating those who are in support of it, including his own superintendent of education, his handpicked head of the Bessie board, as commies.
look, you can't make this stuff up. This actually could read like a good fic. I don't know whether it would be comedy or tragedy, though, yet. Good fiction. The governor is displeased with the position Bessie has taken. Politically, everyone's in the same camp. Chaz Roma's a Republican. The governor's a Republican. I don't know what the superintendent of education is, but he works essentially at the pleasure of the Bessie board, which was practically handpicked by the governor. But yet, these discordant voices seem to continue to coexist, and folks have been watching this a long time and wondering, how is that possible, since we all know the governor has a way of dispensing those that are or perhaps contrary to his position. So the riddles are many. The issue, and I guess that's what I was saying about discordant noise, raw milk in raw emotion, there are questions about Common Core. And they have to do with the ineptitude as far as the implementation of the policies. I mean, that's given. and the questions that weren't answered when they should have been answered. So now we have the communist plots and the socialistic ideas that made and all of the rest of the endless hours of debate, and that's what I'm saying, sucking the time out of a session. And now we're coming in within 10 calendar days, Jim, and we don't have a budget complete. We haven't passed an MFP. We have a fiscal nightmare ahead of us next year. Everyone says, again, it's the precipice of the cliff again. So, wow session is the bottom line.
Well, in today's Advocate, the lead story from Will Sintel says, after making one key change, a Senate committee Thursday approved a bill that would delay the academic consequences of Common Core for an additional year. What's your take on what happened last night?
I think that was the Common Core preservation bill, really, and that's how the opponents, who we didn't take a position on that bill, read it. What happened last night was an attempt to keep Common Core in place, to keep the PARC examinations in place. That the bottom line is there. The way Will tells the story in regard to giving safe harbor by extending some delay is no different than what the Accountability Commission under the superintendent already had done. So, and that wasn't the major debate about the letter grade piece anyway. So that, again, it's a very complicated issue to even discuss in the time we have.
Well, you are not a proponent of Common Core. What is your principle
Our principle is this. No one is against, and this is almost seems like if you think and if you want to be honest with yourself even about it, no one's against higher standards. I mean, it's a cliche. And unfortunately, folks like Steve Monahan have to begin by saying, look, we're not against higher standards. The question that we have to ask in Louisiana is that our standards have been impeccable according to those folks in the national level by saying we have the second highest, third highest standards. And so my question is this. Does Louisiana ultimately really have a standards problem? Is it a question that we don't have the bar set high enough, which we've heard the sports metaphors, raise the bar and the children float over it? Or are we just refusing because it's politically uncomfortable to approach the real problems that are haunting and daunting our efforts to improve how our citizens perform? I mean, look, Jim, it's very simple. Conrad Appel, Senator Appel, will say that Louisiana's achievement level is at 49th. Okay, from quality counts. The education level of our parents is 50th in the nation. So to miss the correlation between the effectors of education, the value of education, is to miss the real issue. So Common Core, whatever you want to call it, standards should be as high as we can make them. And if we know what a fourth grader needs to know in Louisiana, and it's what the fourth grader should know in Minnesota, then we should do that. What caused the problem with Common Core, it wasn't clearly communicated that we did know that. Or we had the right experts involved in the room, or was it a corporate raid of public education monies? It's all over the page because the conversation wasn't clear in 2010. We should have had town halls about the subject. The governor should have gone on the road trip. The superintendent should have gone out to communities and explained the product, and maybe we wouldn't be in the noise factory right now.
297-5633 is your local number. Outside the area, it's 877-217-5757, and you may reach us, email inkstershow@wrkf.org. We shall return with Steve Monahan, the president of the 21,000-member Louisiana Federation of Teachers, after this 90-second pause on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to 89.3 WRKF in Baton Rouge. Frank Barnett is producing. 297-5633 is your number. Steve Monahan, the president of the Louisiana Federation of Teachers, is the guest, and he has been trolling the halls of the Capitol over the last few months as the legislators have been weighing bills, many of them pertaining to education. And with 10 days to go, there's still much work to be done, particularly on the budget, which affects everything. And how's it looking?
It's looking like it's anybody's call. We have a minimum foundation program, which funds most of public education in Louisiana. It was first rejected by the Senate Education Committee, sent back to BSEE. Now it's back on the agenda again. That's a $3.6 billion expenditure to fund, as I said, public education. And then we still have HB 1, which funds all of state government, as you know, Jim, and that's before Senate Finance this weekend. Supposedly they'll bring amendments in on Sunday. And then we get to the real deal, like the last 2 minutes of any NBA game. Mm-hmm. And that's when you tune in, you watch. That's what you do when you're working in the legislature. You watch the last 2 minutes because everything's up for grabs, particularly when it's about the money. What I note about, too, there's a point I think that I have to make about where we are. Every session is not a session unto itself. It is a completion of an act that went before it. We are now dealing with an emptying of the Louisiana Treasury over a series of years. Everything that could be given away, it seems like, has been given away. And so now projecting what income is in years future, and there's a story that was written, I'm sure you've seen it, we are in that place where we don't even know what income will be. So folks are making decisions based upon fear now. Do you accept the minimum foundation program that's going to provide some stability for this year because you feel that next year, when they are doing this again during a fiscal session, there may be even less money, and we'll see the falling off of the cliff. I think I can get a smile out of you by saying, don't you remember at some point, I believe we went through session after session with possibilities of, many years ago, of turning kidney machines off and the rest in this state. So, and those are real problems, but Louisiana cannot continue to grant every exemption rebate, all great ideas that no one pays, the guy behind the tree doesn't pay, no one pays and expects to have a state that provides the kind of services, the kind of roads, the kind of schools that we really want to have.
Well, the year you came in as head of LFT was a year, I think, the Stelly Plan was passed, and that would have solved a lot of these budget issues.
I can remember the 39-1 vote on the Senate side when they were repealing it.
38-1.
38, I'm sorry, you're right. What, 38-1? I know because I was attacked at the rail because we did a white paper opposing it, and it was common sense. It wasn't a liberal plan. I mean, I remember Stelly well. I mean that had a conservative author, and it had a governor who was certainly not left leaning. It made sense. Now there's no diversification of income. We're seeing the effects of years and years of drought, and I think there is a good reason for folks to worry about what the future holds. There's got to be some leadership that points a vision for the state and how we are going to solve the fiscal problems.
Now, the governor, of course, has his backers, as two elections would indicate, but he has some detractors as well. And if Bernie Pinsonat's polls are correct, even with a surge in his popularity, he still has more people right now who are opposed to his actions than in favor in Louisiana. Here's one from Rick Causey saying, if Governor Jindal doesn't like something, then stop and take a good look at it. It must have social merit and worth for the people. So the governor, right now, if he were to run for re-election, he might have some problems.
Yeah, and I think the governor recognizes that he's not, and has his focus on distant horizons. That's unfortunate for the rest of us in the state. And I think that next year is a fiscal session, and it's an election. It'll be right before the next gubernatorial and statewides. And so it's going to be interesting how this plays out and frames the debate, as we all students of the politics of this, what it will mean to the direction of the state of Louisiana. It where the governor goes, wish the governor and anyone else well. Ambitions are ambitions. But for those that are going to remain in the state of Louisiana, it's going to be next year the so-called fiscal cliff again. And then what will the new leadership bring?
We have a question from Marcel about the bill that looks like it could be headed for passage regarding the revamping of the responsibilities for principals in the East Baton Rouge school system, only East Baton Rouge. Some say it's unconstitutional. The bill is because it only applies to one parish, but has LFT taken a stand
on
this?
Yeah, we've opposed the bill, and we're actively opposing it now within a coalition of parties. We have to remember the bill that's supposedly being spun as super empowerment for the principals completely disempowers the teachers in those schools. That makes them no more than cogs in the wheel. And that's a problem. They were never brought to the table to have a conversation, once again overlooked. The second problem, yes, the constitutional issue, but I think as Melissa mentioned before, the Constitution has never stopped the passage of anything that that has been, particularly
somebody
the last
else's
few years.
Money, the taxpayers' money.
Yeah, and it's a lot of money that's being spent to defend these things. The prospects of that bill passing, it's on the House floor. I think it's scheduled for debate on Wednesday. Right now, it's literally a toss up, but it's bad policy is the issue here. It's not. Look, it's a rush to judgment. We know why it's been offered, but not ready for prime time is certainly the issue. We have an active on our webpage. If anyone's interested to read more about the issue that's SB 636, they should go to our webpage and you'll see our arguments on why we believe it's bad policy and what folks can do about it.
Thomas on Lee Drive. Good morning, Thomas. You're on the air with Steve Monahan, president of LFT.
Good morning, Jim. There are a lot of things that the governor has done that I think are good for our state. But when he invoked Russian planning to compare it with Common Core, he finessed his own credibility. I think I'll be glad to go along with the superintendent of education who's been working on this thing for a long time and let the governor make his political points as it goes. But it's a shame. We need to do more about our education, and the fact that this thing has been studied for 2 years and now is coming to this point is sort of a sad situation. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Thomas. The governor had an epiphany, and he doesn't change his mind that often.
No, and I think what the caller said, we can agree. Maybe we'll disagree on other points, but I will say this. Hyperbole can open the gates of hell. And I think that the mention of the Soviets and the rest is pushing the issue into the stratosphere. And that's what part of the problem has been in the whole Common Core debate. There are places to have intelligent conversation in regard to what Common Core does and doesn't do as policy, whether or not it addresses those issues we really need to address. The conversations we've been having in the legislature have bordered on whether or not this is a socialist plot, whether this is Obamacare in disguise, whether the President of the United States is trying to take over Louisiana education. Those peripheral issues, those issues that are, I'm sure, are hot issues for folks because they've been coming to the Capitol, I think only have arisen because of the failure to explain or to have credible answers to the questions that have been raised about the whole program.
Well, the old strategy would be to compare somebody to Hitler. Yeah. Now it seems that the new strategy is to bring up Russia or Putin. Mary Landrieu's doing it in a campaign spot, and now by extension, Governor Jindal is doing it, saying that Common Core is Putin-esque, and I am paraphrasing, but that's basically what he's saying.
I think there'll be hope for Louisiana until someone strips a shirt off and gets on a horse. I mean, I think
maybe
we still
governor,
have a chance.
Maybe the governor will do
I had
that.
The vision for a second, but let it go.
297-5633 for Steve Monahan, the president of the Louisiana Federation of Teachers. What about the sex ed curriculum that Melissa Fornoy mentioned in our brief visit with her? Pat Smith didn't get too far. You're shaking your head. What do you think?
Because I've sat through so many of those debates, and God bless her for coming back year after year. And I think what's really telling about this, and this is the issue, we supported the bill. I mean, we have a problem. I mean, there's a problem out there. And it may not be to be fair to everyone because we all are our own particular lives are perfect. It may not be in our home, but there's a problem, and it's identified. What I don't understand about the resistance is the fact that the bill allows anybody who wants to opt out. Completely opt-out. So before we even debate what's going to be taught age-appropriate to children, high school and starting at fourth grade, we have to first then ask, and it was a question that got lost in committee, if you don't want your child to hear this, your child doesn't have to, but should you have the right to say that no one else's children should have the right? I think there's something fundamentally wrong with the argument. I had a good, and I'll be honest, I mean, this is a former legislator standing in the hallway. I don't want him, he didn't give me permission, so I can't say his name. He was one of the former House members, and he said, you know, never pass. My party can't pass this, but it should. Now, so that I think that simplifies it. 8 hours or how many hours we spent on the debate, you knew how the vote, everyone knew how the vote would come out, including Representative Smith. But it's a tragedy, really. Mm-hmm.
Well, many of these lawmakers who bloviate about public schools, they don't send their kids to public schools.
That's the quintessential opt-out. Mm-hmm. And I think that was exposed during the debate. It got into issues of Christianity versus non-Christianity, and none of those issues matter because, as Pat said, as Representative Smith said, bottom line is there are children out there having children. That's happening. There are children that are contacting diseases. Or how can we deny that and to believe that more education is going to expand the problem? I mean, we've got, remember, Jim, it was 1995 that I think it was under Governor Foster that the Sex Education Act that they passed was abstinence only. Well, it's a good place to start, but obviously it didn't solve the problem because folks are still, by the fact that I see traffic a little heavier out there than it was in 95, that folks are still finding their way to involve themselves in these things we don't want to discuss.
Mm-hmm. Do we still have an abstinence director?
That's a good question.
We did under Governor Foster.
Yes, we did, and yeah. I know it was continued for a few years.
In fact, it was Dan Ritchie at one point.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, a former state senator.
Yes, it was.
21,000 members of LFT, and probably collectively with the other teacher unions, including LAE, about 40,000 teachers are members of a union. How many public school students are there in Louisiana, approximately?
Roughly 700,000.
700,000. And of those, are a majority African-American?
Yes, I would say yes, and it depends on districts. You know, EBR would be indication where, yes.
Overwhelmingly. But of the 700,000 total, my guess, and
yes,
tell me if I'm wrong, most,
yes,
are African-American. Well, the legislature is certainly not majority African-American.
That is correct.
And I would guess that most lawmakers don't send their kids to public schools. I could be wrong, certainly not in the urban areas of Louisiana. So do they have the kind of standing and understanding to make these proclamations about public education that they often do?
No, I don't. I think they're talking points. I hate to keep mentioning Melissa, but when you ask the question about why is her organization in constantly under attack, I kind of laughed because she brought into smiling to myself listening at Fox News or whatever. The talking points come off of it seems to be a national meme, repeated over and over again. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. All of these legislators, including the governor, have a proper perspective of what public education is in 2014. No, I don't think they do at all. And I don't believe in such quick fixes that, God bless them, that you do a day in a classroom or you visit the classroom. Visiting a school is one thing. Working in a day after day and dealing with the real human problems that come to that classroom, whether there is a parenting issue where there's no parent there versus a parent who's there but perhaps may not maybe as bad as being abusive. So I don't have a problem, Jim, and I'm going to put this organizationally, we don't. We can honorably disagree, but I think that a lot of folks that vote no on issues like Representative Smith's proposal are doing so because of a fear of the reaction in their particular constituencies, not because they personally believe that this is a bad idea. They just feel there'll be such a pushback if they were to say yes, instead of explaining once again what this does and what it doesn't do. I think that's what paralyzes us.
Well, the people make decisions like that on their jobs every day. Dan Rather once said he had to lead with the O.J. Simpson story for several months, and he hated it. But he kept saying, do I want to die in this ditch? Is this the stand I want to take that's going to cost me my job? And I think lawmakers sometimes vote against their own beliefs, which has to eat at their soul if they're fully human, but they do it anyway because they want to stay lawmakers.
And you can rush. Look, we all do. We have to make, I think, you, to be fair, you made an excellent, we do it in our jobs. We feel very strongly about an issue, but is this the one that is going to be, as I think another governor said, your Waterloo? Is this going to be the place where you give up the ability to make change in other areas? So that's a fair assessment.
So what's your prediction on what happens in the next 10 days?
I think fatigue is already setting in with the session. I think there is because of just as you mentioned in any job, you want to get the job done. You want the best you can get out of it. There'll be a resolution on the budget. There will be. I don't think there'll be a special session. I'll say it now.
Yeah. No overtime then.
No overtime.
Okay. Well, thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Jim.
Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back Monday. Stay tuned.
Podcasts of The Jim Engster Show are available at WRKF.org. The Jim Engster Show is produced in association with the Louisiana Radio Network and is copyrighted by WRKF for the private use of its audience. Any other use of any portion of this program without the written consent of WRKF is prohibited. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of WRKF, its officers, and members.